Welcome in. It is so good to have you here with us.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
And, you know, if you are joining us today, you are likely the kind of person who is always looking to level up.
Right.
Maybe you're leading a team, or maybe you're out there analyzing market trends, or maybe you're just insanely curious about how the hidden machinery of the modern business world actually functions.
Which is a lot of people, honestly.
It is. So today, we are going completely under the hood. Our mission for this deep dive is to drag something out of the shadows. We are going to uncover the silent killer of business success.
It sounds so dramatic when you say it like that.
I know it sounds like a dramatic movie trailer, but by the end of this conversation, you will see exactly why it's true. We are talking about bad data.
Yes.
And to do this, we are drawing our insights from a truly fascinating piece of writing. It's titled Cost of Bad Data: How Poor Data Quality Damages Business.
A great piece.
Written by Lauren Popick, who is the marketing director at Reach Marketing, and it was published on March 4th, 2026. So whether you're leading an organization or just trying to understand why things break, this is going to be eye-opening.
It really is a brilliant piece to dissect because it takes something that most people casually dismiss as a minor IT headache.
Like just a glitch in a spreadsheet.
Exactly, just a glitch. And it reveals it for what it truly is, which is a structural threat to an entire organization.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because when I hear bad data, I immediately picture a typo.
Right, yeah.
Like someone spelling my last name wrong on a mailing list. Right. But what you're describing and what the source material is outlining, it sounds less like a typo and more like an infection.
That's a really good way to put it.
It's an infection that spreads through a company's entire nervous system, right?
Yeah.
So how should we actually define this in a real-world business context?
We have to completely discard the idea of the single misspelled name. In a modern business context, bad data refers to information that is fundamentally compromised in one of several different ways. The source text actually breaks down data quality into six distinct dimensions.
Six dimensions?
Yeah, and looking at them individually shows how easily things go wrong. For instance, the first dimension is accuracy. Like, does the value in your system actually reflect real-world conditions?
Right.
So if your system says a client is located in New York, but they moved to Chicago last year, that is an accuracy failure.
Got it.
But even if it's accurate, you have the second dimension, which is completeness. Are critical attributes just missing? You might have the Chicago address, but no zip code.
Which means the shipping department still can't send them anything, even if the city is correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which brings us to the third dimension, consistency.
Yeah.
This is where the exact same entity appears differently depending on which system you are looking at.
Oh, like different departments having different info?
Precisely. Imagine a customer who is listed as a premium subscriber in the sales system, but the billing system has them tagged as a canceled account.
Oh, wow.
The sales team thinks they are a VIP, but the finance team is trying to send them to collections.
That sounds like a fast track to a very angry phone call from that customer.
And it happens constantly. Then the fourth dimension is timeliness. Information that was perfectly accurate and complete, but it sat in a processing queue for 2 weeks.
And it just became outdated before anyone could even use it.
Right. Then there's the fifth dimension, validity. This means the values violate expected formats or rules. Think of a phone number field that somehow accepted a string of alphabetical letters.
Just a total system failure there.
Yeah. And finally, the sixth dimension is uniqueness. This is the classic duplicate record problem, where the same customer exists three different times in your system, which totally distorts your view of how many actual clients you have.
That is a lot of ways for things to break.
What's fascinating here is how these small, seemingly trivial errors multiply. They do not just sit isolated in a single server. They move through digital integrations. They feed into executive dashboards.
They populate automated reports.
Yes, and they train complex predictive models. Over time, a minor inaccuracy in one department cascades into a massive systemic distortion across the whole company.
When you lay out those six dimensions, it becomes terrifying to think about the sheer volume of information companies are collecting every single second.
It really is.
Which brings me to the financial damage. Because reading through the source material, I was genuinely shocked at the scale of this. We are talking about companies losing millions of dollars annually.
Often without even realizing it.
Exactly. Sometimes without even realizing it. How exactly does this invisible infection cost an organization that much money?
Well, the financial impact is incredibly severe because it hits the organization from multiple angles simultaneously. The text identifies five major cost categories where the bleeding happens.
Okay, what are they?
You have operational inefficiency, lost revenue, misallocated investment, compliance exposure, and the cost of rework and remediation.
That is a heavy list.
It is. And revenue loss is almost always the first visible symptom that your data infrastructure is failing.
Let's focus on that for a second, lost revenue. Because for anyone listening who runs a business or manages a department, that is the ultimate alarm bell.
Absolutely.
How is bad data directly pulling money out of the register?
The source breaks down three specific areas where this revenue erosion happens. The first is incorrect customer information, which is particularly devastating in B2B environments.
B2B being business to business.
Right, where companies sell directly to other companies. These sales cycles are long, and they rely heavily on precise data to identify opportunities and personalized messaging. When that data is bad, sales teams end up marketing to the completely wrong audience.
Just totally missing the mark.
They miss obvious cross-selling opportunities because they don't realize the client just bought a complementary product. It directly reduces conversion rates because you are basically shouting into the void.
So you were spending thousands of dollars on a marketing campaign targeted at someone who either doesn't exist, already bought the product, or just isn't qualified to buy it anyway.
Precisely. Now, the second area of revenue loss is distorted demand signals. This affects product development and supply chain planning.
Okay, how so?
Think of a retail company relying on historical data to predict inventory needs. If their forecasting inputs are distorted by duplicate records or inconsistent sales data, they are going to make massive mistakes. They will either overproduce a product nobody wants or underproduce a product that is in high demand.
Both of which are financial disasters.
Exactly. Excess inventory means high carrying costs. You are paying to store boxes in a warehouse. Underproduction means empty shelves and lost sales.
It's like a grocery store ordering 10,000 winter coats in July because their system accidentally merged the sales data from December with the data from June.
That's a perfect analogy.
It is a completely unforced error.
And that leads directly to the third area of revenue loss, which is misleading performance analytics. This is where leadership teams optimize the wrong initiatives entirely.
Oh, I see where this is going.
A marketing department might pour an extra $1 million into a digital ad campaign because their dashboard shows it is driving huge traffic. But if that success is misattributed due to flawed data tracking, they are optimizing a ghost.
Wow. Optimizing a ghost.
The capital just keeps flowing toward initiatives that do not truly drive growth, while the real revenue-generating projects are starved of funding.
That brings up a concept from the text that I found absolutely chilling. They call it strategic drift.
Strategic drift is perhaps the most dangerous consequence of all. Decision makers operate under the assumption that their analytics represent reality. The insidious thing about bad data is that it often still looks incredibly credible.
Right. The dashboards still look pretty.
Exactly. The executive dashboards, the quarterly reports, the predictive models, they still produce beautiful, professional-looking charts and graphs. But those beautiful outputs reflect deeply corrupted inputs.
That's terrifying.
So executives are making major strategic moves, acquiring companies, launching products, shifting budgets, steering the organization with total confidence, completely unaware that they are heading in the wrong direction.
It sounds like driving a car with a broken GPS, but the GPS speaks with a very calm, confident voice. You think you are 10 minutes from your destination and suddenly you are driving into a lake.
Yes. Over time, the cumulative effect of those confident but wrong decisions is that strategic drift. The company slowly detaches from market reality, and by the time leadership realizes the map was wrong, the competitors are miles ahead.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. We have talked about the spreadsheets, the executive dashboards, the high-level financial damage.
Right.
But I want to bring this down to the human element. How does this invisible saboteur actually affect the employees on the ground and, more importantly, the customers who are interacting with these businesses every day?
The human cost is staggering, and it shows up as a massive operational hidden tax. Bad data quietly drains productivity across every single department.
Because they have to constantly fix things.
Exactly. When the systems cannot be trusted, employees end up spending huge portions of their day verifying reports, reconciling data sets, and troubleshooting inconsistencies just to do their basic jobs.
Which means they are not actually doing the creative or strategic work they were hired to do.
They're essentially acting as human spell checkers for broken software. It rarely appears in formal project plans, but it consumes enormous organizational energy.
That has to kill morale.
It does. What happens is a psychological shift.
What?
Employees simply stop trusting the automated systems because the automated system burned them last quarter by giving them the wrong sales numbers.
What?
So instead of relying on the multi-million dollar analytics platform the company just implemented, employees revert to performing manual verification. They create their own secret spreadsheets.
Oh, everyone has a rogue spreadsheet.
They build manual workarounds. And once that behavior becomes the norm, where everyone has their own private version of the truth, saved on their desktop, organizational productivity plummets.
I can imagine how frustrating that is internally. But if it is that bad for the employees, it has to be a total nightmare for the customers.
It is.
I actually have a quick story about this. I once received promotional mail for the previous homeowner of my house for 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. I called them, I emailed them, I updated my profile, but without fail, every month, this glossy catalog arrived for someone who hadn't lived there in half a decade. To me, it just made the company look completely disorganized.
That is the perfect real-world example. Customers experience the consequences of poor data quality viscerally. The text points out that bad data leads to incorrect billing and invoices, which immediately causes panic and frustration. It leads to repeated requests for information the customer has already provided, which makes the company look like it isn't listening. Imagine calling a customer service agent because your internet is down and they cannot access your correct account details. Or they insist your router is a model you replaced 3 years ago.
You immediately lose faith they can solve your actual problem.
Each individual incident might seem minor to the business, a single dropped address, a mismatched product code. But to the customer, repeated errors destroy trust. And trust is the foundational currency of business.
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Once a customer loses trust, they stop sharing information, they tune out your marketing, and eventually they take their business to a competitor. The reputational damage a company suffers from looking incompetent often far exceeds whatever would have cost to just fix the operational data in the first place.
That makes perfect sense. It is the death by a thousand paper cuts.
Exactly.
Now, I want to pivot to something that is dominating every single business conversation right now. You cannot open an article, attend a meeting, or listen to a pitch without hearing about artificial intelligence, machine learning, and advanced analytics.
It's everywhere.
Every company on earth wants to be AI-driven. But if we establish that companies are drowning in bad data, what happens when they plug those sophisticated models into a corrupted foundation? Doesn't the AI just clean it up?
This is a critical misconception that is costing companies dearly. Organizations are investing heavily in analytics technology, but they are completely underestimating the importance of their underlying data infrastructure.
So the AI doesn't just fix it.
Not at all. The text is very clear on this point. Analytics platforms and machine learning models depend entirely on high-quality data to function. Sophisticated algorithms absolutely cannot fix bad inputs. They only amplify them.
Wait, so if a company buys a state-of-the-art AI tool to predict market trends, but their internal data is full of those duplicate records and outdated addresses we talked about earlier?
The AI doesn't know it's wrong.
It doesn't know.
It assumes the data you feed it is the ground truth. If your training data sets contain incorrect or biased information, your automated models are going to learn false patterns. They will identify trends that simply do not reflect reality.
That is wild.
In many cases, companies only discover they have a massive data quality problem after their expensive new AI initiatives start producing completely bizarre or unexpected outcomes. They build an AI to optimize pricing, and the AI suggests giving the product away for free.
Because of bad data.
Because it learned from a corrupted data set where a promotional discount was marked as the standard price.
This raises an important question. Where is all this bad data coming from in the first place? It doesn't just magically appear out of thin air to ruin our day. What are the actual mechanics of how a company's information gets so messy?
The source material highlights that data quality problems usually originate in predictable places, and they walk through five main root causes.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is fragmented data systems. This happens when an organization stores information across multiple disconnected platforms. You might have customer contact info sitting in a CRM.
A customer relationship management tool.
Right. But their purchase history is in a separate finance system, and their support tickets are in a third customer service tool. When those systems fail to synchronize properly, inconsistencies emerge immediately.
It is like a massive corporate game of telephone, where every department has a slightly different version of reality. What happens when human beings enter the mix?
That leads to the second root cause, which is manual data entry. It sounds almost too simple, but typographical errors, inconsistent formatting, and incomplete records are rampant whenever humans are typing things out.
People make mistakes.
Someone types street instead of sank, or they skip a mandatory field by just typing NA so they can move on to the next screen. Even a tiny human error rate becomes a massive liability when you are dealing with databases containing millions of records.
I have definitely been guilty of typing a fake phone number into a form just to get past a paywall, so I am part of the problem. What is the third cause?
The third is weak governance policies.
Mm-hmm.
This happens when there is no clear ownership of critical data sets. If the marketing team thinks the IT team is responsible for keeping the addresses clean, and the IT team thinks the sales team is doing it, then no one is strictly enforcing data standards.
Because if everyone owns the data, no one owns the data.
That is a recipe for finger-pointing when things go wrong.
Yep.
Now, the fourth cause is poor integration design. This is more technical. It happens when the data pipelines connecting your different software systems are poorly built.
Like they don't talk to each other correctly?
They might transform or truncate fields incorrectly as the data moves from point A to point B. A classic example is a system that only allows 10 characters for a last name, pulling data from a system that allows 20 characters.
The names just get chopped in half.
Exactly, during the transfer. Introducing hidden inconsistencies that no human ever sees until it's too late.
And the fifth root cause, I imagine company growth plays a huge role in breaking these systems.
Rapid organizational growth is the fifth cause, specifically involving mergers and acquisitions. Imagine Company A buys Company B.
Yeah.
Company A uses a modern cloud-based infrastructure. Company B is still using on-premise legacy servers from 15 years ago. Trying to reconcile those two completely incompatible data sets is a monumental challenge, and data quality often deteriorates very quickly during that chaotic transition period.
So what does this all mean? If you are listening to this right now and you are starting to sweat because this sounds uncomfortably familiar, how do you actually spot this happening in your own organization? And more importantly, how do you fix it before it is too late?
The first step is recognizing the symptoms, because as we established, bad data rarely announces itself clearly. The text provides a practical list of warning signs. You should look for conflicting numbers across different reports.
Like if marketing says you have 10,000 active users, but finance says you only have 8,000.
You have a data problem. Look for sudden, unexplained changes in analytics metrics. Pay attention to how often your teams are making manual corrections to operational systems. If it is taking longer and longer to prepare routine end-of-month reports, that is a huge red flag.
And I imagine the customers will let you know, too.
Oh, absolutely. An increase in customer complaints about incorrect account information is the most obvious external signal.
Okay, so let's say a listener spots those warning signs. How do we take control and stop the bleeding?
The organizations that successfully control this treat their data as a highly managed asset, not just a byproduct of doing business. The text outlines five principles of effective management.
Let's run through them.
First, clear data ownership. Every critical data set must have a designated owner who is personally accountable for its accuracy. Second, define quality standards. You have to clearly define what is acceptable for completeness and accuracy before you can enforce it.
Makes sense. What's the third?
Third is automated validation. Your data pipelines need built-in rules that detect and flag errors before they propagate through the system. Fourth is continuous monitoring. You cannot just run a data cleanup audit once a year. It must be monitored constantly.
And the final principle?
Fifth is cross-department accountability. Data flows across the whole organization, so the governance has to extend far beyond just the IT department.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that last point about cross-department accountability is really the ultimate conclusion of this entire piece. The trap is thinking that this is a technology problem that you can just buy a software patch to fix.
That is the core takeaway. It is absolutely not a technology problem. It is a leadership issue. Technology teams can build validation systems and complex pipelines all day long, but they cannot enforce governance and behavioral changes across an entire organization without executive sponsorship.
Right. The leaders have to care.
Effective data quality requires real cross-department collaboration, defined accountability structures, and investment from the very top down. When leadership treats data as a strategic asset, quality improves rapidly. When it is treated as an IT afterthought, the problems persist no matter how many millions of dollars you spend on fancy new software.
That is such a powerful paradigm shift. For you listening, the overarching lesson here is that treating your data with the exact same rigorous governance as you treat your financial systems is the only way to survive in a digital-first world. You would never accept mostly accurate financial statements where a few zeros were missing.
Never.
So you can no longer accept mostly accurate data fueling your business strategy.
I think about it this way, and this is something for all of us to really mull over as we watch the tech landscape evolve. If artificial intelligence learns exclusively from the historical data we feed it, and our data is quietly riddled with human typos, fragmented blind spots, disconnected silos, and departmental workarounds, are we inadvertently training our future AI not just to be slightly wrong, but to perfectly replicate our own organizational dysfunction?
Wow, that is definitely a thought that will keep you up at night staring at the ceiling. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, keep looking for those invisible saboteurs hiding in your spreadsheets, and we will see you next time.